As Janet said earlier, for those who were here, those who arrived after, she just worked through a bit of a brief notice, a few notices. For some time, we've been off and on thinking about if we needed to go to two services on a Sunday morning because we needed to make more space for more people. How would that look? What would that be like? How would we do that? And so we've thought about this various times. I've talked with other leaders around the place and that have done this. And then, of course, we come into this situation we've just been in with the COVID-19 regulations and so on and so forth. And coming out of that, we realized that because the government would allow people to do conferences, and we're a conference center and we've had a lot of experience in running conferences, we can legitimately run two conferences on a Sunday and gather people and worship together, be in the Word together. And so that's what we did. And, of course, limited to 100 people plus staff. And then, of course, this Sunday is kind of the same, but now we are able to run and call them services. I make no apology for that. People may question my motivation for even doing what we did last weekend. Actually, just get over it. You know, we're here to serve the Lord, not your opinion. I'm sorry. I'll just start straight. And so if I worried about everybody's opinion, I would still be a joiner. I wouldn't go near the pulpit. If you want to be popular, go sell ice cream. In the summer. Because I tell you, I'm not here to take notice of everybody's opinion. I do take notice of people who have got something worth listening to. I do. But I'm not going to be bothered by an accusation, okay? It sounds like I am bothered. I'm actually not. I'm just stating it. And so not about being dictatorial or autocratic, nothing like that. It's trying to follow the Holy Ghost. The guys in Jerusalem had to come to this conclusion when they were dragged before the Sanhedrin and they were commanded not to preach in that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they came to the point and they said, well, we respect you as leaders, but we've got a commission from heaven. This is Chambers' paraphrase. And we've got a commission from heaven and we've been authorized by the creator of heaven and earth and by the Lord of the earth, Jesus Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize those who believe. Those who believe, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we teach them everything that the Lord commanded us. And so that's what we do. So they said to the Sanhedrin, they didn't perhaps say it quite like that. I'm just adding a few things, which were really in the intent of it. And they said that, what is better for us to do? Is it better for us to obey God or is it better for us to obey you? They beat them, sent them out, and they carried on preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, COVID-19 didn't prevent, the legislation did not prevent us from preaching. We were preaching quite happily online, or I was happily. Janet was rather be live, but I was quite happily preaching online, and so many people have been preaching online, so it didn't hinder the gospel in that respect. But there may come a day. There may come a day when the scriptures are considered, in terms of the wholeness of the Bible, is considered hate speech. There may come a day when people try to limit the sale of the scriptures. There may come a day when there's certain things we cannot preach. There may come a day when we're not allowed to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life because it would be supposedly putting down a minority. There may come that day. What are we going to do? You may have to come and visit some of us in prison. I'm serious. So we're kind of going to get a little bit of practice at obeying heaven. And there are some lines that you say we obey the government. That's the right thing to do. There are some lines where we must obey the government of heaven. That's the right thing to do. It may mean prison from time to time for somebody. It has for the Chinese. It has for many nations of the earth where the leaders have been locked in prison and all sorts of things happened and worse than that. But I want to tell you this. There are people who think that we don't live in persecution in these days. The church is more persecuted globally than it's ever been before. We've got to get out of this Western love of comfort deal where we've compromised the gospel down to a prosperity comfort thing where we avoid pain at all costs. That day, I believe, is over. It's a new era. It's a new time. It's a new season. And we've got to stand up for the gospel. We've got to stand up and say we will preach the gospel. It is our commission from heaven to preach the gospel. And if there's a cost in that, so be it. We'll preach in prison. I'm not looking forward to going tomorrow. But I'm just saying. We've got to actually get some guts. We've got to get some spine on our spine. Not be arrogant, not be rude, but we've got to draw the line as to what we're going to do. Are we going to preach the gospel or are we not? And this is not my message. We're going to John chapter 14. Have you got a paper for me? Sorry, I thought, my apologies there, Oscar. Okay, right. We just need to do something right now. I got confused. I thought Samantha wasn't here at all. Okay. A little bit of confusion there. We want to set in two youth leaders this morning, Kalila and Samantha. Many of you may not know Kalila and Samantha, but two lovely young ladies that have become part of Living Waters and over this last while and have been just wonderfully involved in the youth. And so we're just very glad to set them in to help Oscar with leading in the youth today. So where are you, Kalila? Are you here, Kalila? There you are. Come on up, Kalila. And Oscar's over getting Samantha from the children's ministry, is he? Oh, there's Samantha there. Sorry, Samantha. It's a bit dark down there. I couldn't see everybody. God bless you. Oscar, could you come up as well, please? And Samantha, g'day, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, sir. Bless you.
Thank you so much for being willing to take up leading and helping Oscar and helping the team. We really appreciate it. And Kalila, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for taking up this role and feeling the pressure a little bit. And how about we stand and stretch out your hands to Kalila and Samantha. Oscar, just get behind, lay hands on them. And Janet, could you just get behind, or in front if you like. But Father, we thank you for Kalila today. We just thank you for her willingness to take up this role of leadership in the youth. In the youth ministry, Infusion Youth. We just thank you right now. We just thank you for her walk with you. Lord, her experience in following you. And Lord, the work you've done in her life and the grace of God that's just been poured out in her life. And we just thank you now. We just commission you in the name of Jesus right now to serve and to bless and to lead and to encourage and to strengthen in Jesus' name in a team. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Samantha, we just thank you for your work and your hand on her life. Lord, the grace that you've extended to her and brought her into the family of God. We just thank you for the work of Christ in her life. And today we just set her into leading along with Kalila and Oscar and the rest of the team. Lord, and leading in the youth in Jesus' name. We commission you today. Amen. God bless you. God bless you both. God bless you both. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. Sorry about that little bit of confusion, people. But I've got your Bible with you. Turn it to John chapter 14. Thank you. John chapter 14, verse 15. We're going, just as we do that, just put those buckets around. We're going to give. Sorry, I'm a little bit not quite disjointed. I'm just a bit here and there. And I'm also just trying to manage time, obviously. There's a bit of a new ball game for me. Managing time a little more tightly. But I'm learning. I am learning. We're in it together. We're learning. And if we do go to a permanent two-meeting situation, we will be making each one longer, by the way. We're just doing the hour and a quarter one just for this little stretch. So, Father, we thank you for your power to generate wealth and to have your provision flowing through us so we can not only meet our own needs but also the needs of others. Father, we honor you today in the tithe and the offerings and all the private giving that we do just one to another and into various situations and various organizations that perhaps each one of us do separately and nobody else really knows about. But you see it. You know about it. And so, Father, we just thank you for releasing your grace, your blessing on every family, every household. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, verse 15. Remember last week I spoke briefly about the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's not an it, it's him. He is very much of the same essence of the Father and the Son. He is God. He is the other Paracletos. He is the Comforter. He is the Helper whom Jesus, through a sacrifice, his resurrection and his ascension, was then able to pray the Father or ask the Father, and the Father and the Son sent Holy Spirit to earth, and he arrived on the day of Pentecost in the sense of that dimension of power and outpouring on the church. He was here well before that. He was here since creation. He was brooding over the face of the deep when God spoke. And so, but he arrived in another covenantal dimension. He arrived in a way that he was able to rest and abide on every believer to be the seal of their redemption, to be the regenerator of their spirit man, and to join himself with our spirit man to enable us to be born again. But not only that, but to actually come upon us and marinate us and infuse us with himself to actually possess us. A lot of people don't like the idea of being possessed by a spirit. But I want to say this, I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. I want to be possessed by Holy Spirit. I want to be fully occupied. I want to have the fullness of Holy Spirit, okay? So that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And so we're going to read in John last week I mentioned how John G. Lake, one of the great revivalists, one of the great men who moved in a phenomenal healing gift, healing anointing, he said this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Father baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, he gives you himself. And he's not giving us something less than himself, something that's just a force or a presence or an energy. He's giving us himself. And so we want to walk with great respect, but also build great friendship and reliance on Holy Spirit. He's God himself. And so I'm going to quickly read it through a couple of scriptures, then just park on one at the end. And that's only going to be for a short period of time. So John chapter 14, verse 5, New King James Version. If you love me, keep my commandments. Passion Translation says, love motivates us to keep his commands. Beautiful way of putting it. Because people get a wee bit tied up with that. Think that it's somehow some sort of legalism. Not at all. And I will pray the Father. In other words, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Helper not in the small sense, helper in the big sense. Helper in the extensive, transformational, everything that the kingdom is about sense. Everything that salvation is about sense. He's not a minion. You know, with the little goggles and the little blue overalls, the little yellow things that look like a yellow pill with eyeballs. He's not a minion. He's not a little helper that runs around. He's Lord. He's actually Lord of the harvest. He's actually the governor of the kingdom of heaven on earth. As Miles Monroe said, he's the governor of the kingdom. And if a nation ever expels the governor, they expel the king. If they ever take down the flag of that represents the king, the kingdom they are part of, if they ever rebel against that kingdom, drop the flag and then cast out the governor, they've rebelled against that kingdom. I want to tell you, my friends, too many people have rebelled against heaven because they've dishonored Holy Spirit. We may not have done it overtly, but we can sometimes do it simply by ignoring him. I don't want to be a man who ignores Holy Spirit. I've done that too many times. We're walking into a day now where walking closely with Holy Spirit is going to be extremely helpful, extremely advantageous, extremely beneficial, crucial. Some of us who walked through the earthquake period, you'll have story after story of people who were about to go into a situation, but Holy Spirit warned them, even though they didn't necessarily recognize it as Holy Spirit at the time, and they turned away and they went home. Kimberly was one of those. If she'd continued into town with her little ones, she would have been right in an area of town that collapsed with her little ones in a pushchair, or one of them at least. But she heard an inner voice saying, "Go, turn around and go home." Then it came again, and then it came again. Finally, the third time, she turned around and went home. And just as she was crossing the threshold into her little timber house, which stood up fantastically well in earthquakes, the boom, the one that hit the inner city and devastated the inner city hit. Walking with Holy Spirit is really crucial. We've come into a period of time, whatever that's going to unfold like and look like, that walking with Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. You and I have the privilege, if we're in Christ, we've been born again, we've been reconnected with the Father, we've been reconciled to Him, but we've also received the person of Holy Spirit to live in us, to occupy, walk with us, lead us, fill us, empower us, speak to us, help us in the greatest, most beautiful dimension of what help means. That we must foster and cultivate our conscious relationship with Him. Not just take Him for granted. And so, I just want to outline a couple of things that Jesus said in His teaching about Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and in you. The world system cannot receive Holy Spirit, but you know Him, you've received Him, because you've received Christ, and you have Him. It's a matter of becoming more conscious of His presence, more conscious of Him, more reliant on Him, more leaning into Him, more acknowledging of Him. Be very powerful. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26, New King James Version. But when the Helper comes, referring to the same person, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. I'm going to read that out of the Passion Version translation because it reads particularly well. John chapter 15, verse 26. John 16, 26. And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of My Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, emanating from the Father, and He will speak to you about Me. And you will tell everyone the truth about Me, for you have walked with Me from the start. He will send the divine encourager from the very presence of My Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth. And He will speak to you about Me. I want to tell you this. You do not know anything about Jesus at all that the Holy Spirit has not revealed to you. Everything you've gained from the Word, every revelation, every bit of understanding that you've gained from the Scriptures, in your study, in your reading, the preaching you've heard, whatever avenue, the Holy Spirit has illuminated that to you. You have not learnt anything about Jesus that Holy Spirit has not shown you. We are so reliant on Holy Spirit. We are so reliant on Him. We are more reliant than most of us have probably given credit for. I can often tell when there are levels of manifest presence of Holy Spirit building in an atmosphere where people have come together in faith and worship and genuine spirit and truth worship, because when the presence of God starts to become tangible, revelation just starts to spark. Every prophet will know that. Revelation just starts to spark. Things you've been meditating on for months, weeks, however long, suddenly just drop into place. Suddenly it just goes ping. Truth just pings in your spirit. And suddenly you're seeing things the way you haven't seen it before. And the truth just becomes more tangible to you, more real to you, more imparted to you. I'll tell you why. Because the logot, the word that you memorized or you were pondering on, suddenly became alive and became quickened or active in you or realized or revealed in you, because Holy Spirit was taking the things of Him and giving them to you in that moment. When Holy Spirit takes that truth, when He takes that passage, when He takes that understanding, and it suddenly is revealed to you, it becomes part of you, it goes into your heart and into your mind in a way that it never has before, that's Holy Spirit giving to you the things of Jesus. We haven't read that passage yet. I've just jumped ahead of myself slightly, but I'd like to read it in the Passion Translation, John chapter 16, verse 13. This is so important, because people try to memorize scripture, and memorizing scripture is good. But I want to tell you this, when you get into atmospheres of the Holy Spirit, or you begin to worship in spirit and in truth, and you engage in worship yourself with your Heavenly Father, I want to tell you that's when Holy Spirit will take that truth and it'll just go kapow in your spirit. I've had times when it's like the spirit realm has opened up and I've seen into things like that. I've seen into it, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've never seen this like this before. This is so much deeper than I've ever seen before, and I want that to stay open. And it's like I want to put a bar in it so it can't close again, but it does close again. But in that, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's like this thing just opens up, and you see it, oh my goodness, I've not, wow, and it just goes into your spirit, and then it closes up again, but you've caught something. You've seen something. I'll tell you what that is. It's Holy Spirit taking what is Jesus, what is His, what He says, what is mine, and He gives it to you. I tell you what, in those moments of revelation, of understanding, however that comes about, you receive power. You receive revelation in that moment, and that revelation is the base of your power. That is Holy Spirit taking what is Jesus and giving it to you, imparting it into you, sowing it into you. And from that moment onwards, something has changed. Something is different, because He's given you what was Jesus. This is the role of Holy Spirit. This is who we walk with. I'm going to finish on this. John chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to go 2 minutes over. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. There we are, verse 13. He's been speaking to the disciples. This is pre-crucifixion. There is so much more. Verse 12 rather. John chapter 16, Passion Translation. There is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on His own, but only what He hears from the Father, and He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. He will glorify me on the earth, for He will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say that the divine encourager, the Holy Spirit, the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. Soon you won't see me any longer, but then after a little bit you will see me. That confused the boys for a while. They got it figured out. But here's this amazing statement. Everything that is the Father's, He's given to Jesus. Everything that is the Father's, He's given it to the Son. And everything that is the Son's, everything that belongs to Jesus, The Holy Spirit takes of that or receives that from Jesus and he gives it to us. That's why our walk and our consciousness of Holy Spirit is so vital, and we can fellowship with him and befriend him and walk with him, because he wants to take what is the Lord's, what is Jesus, what he purchased for us, what he's done for us, and everything that else that is in that, and he wants to take that and give that to us. And he gives it to us line upon line, truth upon truth, in this season and that season and this time and that time. He gives it to us and it becomes revelation to it. It becomes life to it. It becomes quickened word to it. And anybody can have an argument. Everybody can have an opinion. But when you've received something from the Lord, because the Holy Spirit has released that into your spirit, it's yours forever. And nobody can take it away. They can lock you up, try to shut you up, they can do whatever, but they can never take it away from you. Because it's been taken by the Holy Spirit and placed into your spirit and is with you forever. I want to tell you, my friends, that's why people who are open and walk with Holy Spirit and are conscious of Holy Spirit and fellowship with Holy Spirit in the Word, fellowship with Holy Spirit in meditation, fellowship with Holy Spirit as they're worshiping the Father, it's all engaged into one as they talk with over the Word, one with the other, Holy Spirit of active, and revelation just kicks in. I want to tell you, my friends, it's far better than looking at the news. It's far better than looking at Facebook. It's far better than looking at any conspiracy theory. It's far better than looking at any soul-destroying thing that people might be talking about. You can listen to some of those things to figure out what to do. But the most important thing we can be doing in this hour is walking with Holy Spirit and letting him take what is Jesus and put it into our spirit. That's what will keep us alive. That's what will keep us moving forward. That's what will save our souls. That's what will give us faith. That's what will cause the miracles to flow through our lives. Let's all stand this morning as we finish. Thank you, Father, right now. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven if you would, whichever way you think heaven is. Lift them straight out in front of you if you like. You hear what I'm saying? You pray after me if you would. Father, I thank you for Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, for sending him to me. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Let me become so conscious of you every day. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for empowering me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. 5 minutes over. We did it. But we started 5 minutes late. Love to pray with you. Is that all right? Could we pray with you in a minute?